We surrender again.
We surrender again.
We'll give it all up again. We surrender again.
We surrender again.
I need somebody to lift those hands and oh my shaba. Oh la shiata. We give it all over to you, Lord. Our issues, Father. Our bad habits, Father. We give it to you. We give it to you. Glory and honor, dominion and power. Glory and honor.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Going through whatever situation that has arisen in their life, Lord, you're more than enough to handle it. There's nothing that you can't do for us, Lord. And we thank you right now, Lord God. Father, we thank you for the way of escape in the time of persecution and in the time of trial. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for the things that you've done that we didn't even know that you were doing while we were sleeping and slumbering, while we were not even paying attention, Lord. You were quickly at work in our life, and we thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing and protecting our children, our family, and just keeping us and healing us, helping us, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for those, Lord God, that seem like the enemy is attacking their bodies. But, Lord, we have faith in you that you're able, that, Lord, you've already healed us by the stripes of Jesus. And we thank you for the miracle and the medicine that will bring forth the healing in their bodies, God. We thank you right now. We glorify your name. We praise you, God. You're worthy, dear God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for those that are not with us today, that are traveling, that are away, that are doing whatever they're doing. Father, we ask that you bless them and keep them, Lord, and keep them safely, God, in your hand, Lord. We thank you, God. We lift you higher, oh God. We thank you, Lord God. Let your glory fill this place, God. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle, Lord God. We thank you for your sweet spirit. And Father, just have your way in this place today. Lord, touch our minds and hearts. Lord, touch my mind. Let me have precision of thought, Lord God. Let me have clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of the ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith. Your word, God, that will bring confidence and healing and deliverance and power and peace to the hearers today. Father, we thank you for my wife and family. We thank you, Lord God, for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the Holy Ghost who guides and gives to us what belongs to you. We thank you, Lord. And we will join in with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim, the chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy, and your glory fills the earth, and it fills me. In Jesus' name, we thank you now. We praise you, God. You're awesome. Amen. 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 I want to use for a thought today, because I've heard people say, you know, trust the process and, you know, just trust this and trust that. But I want to bring to you today a thought, a title tag. Trusting God's plan. Trusting God's plan. Times you can't help what you do. You can't help but blow the trumpet. You can't help but praise. You can't help but sound the alarm. You can't help but do God's will. You can't help but get a righteous indignation in you to make you want to do better. And Gideon hadn't talked to nobody. You know, that's what we mess up most of the time, is when God tells us something, we want to go and get it validated by people, and we start asking, what do you think? We start analyzing, what do you think about this? What do you think? I know people that always, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? We got to quit asking everybody what they think. If God is has said it, that's enough. If God says you're a mighty man of valor, that's what you are. Don't go and say, what do you think about this dream? What do you think about what God said? What do you think about that word? What do you think about what was preached today? No, I think it was good, and whatever it was good, because it was all God, and he spoke to me. Come on and say amen. And so Gideon, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Do you know whenever God speaks a word, that he sends not only his word, but he sends the power of the Spirit with his word? The Bible lets us know that the Spirit comes, and he comes to do what? Help us to do what we couldn't do on our own. He said that I won't leave you comfortless, but I give you the Paracletos. I give you the Spirit of God, that whatever he comes to do alongside to help you to do whatever it is that God has called you to do. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon because he had a visitation from God. See, the problem with a lot of us is that we get so touchy and we just get so out of our wits whenever we get by ourselves. We let the devil talk to us, but we won't let God talk to us. Gideon was by himself, and the devil wasn't talking to him. God was. But when we get by ourselves, we start thinking about all the wrong stuff that people done us, and I'm through with them, and I ain't going back to the church, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm through. And we start thinking the wrong stuff. But when God speaks to you, he speaks to you and makes you go out and do something that's going to benefit not just you, it's going to benefit everybody. You can't be selfish and think about yourself when you come in the presence of God. That is, let me tell you something that I found out. There's a blessing in being alone sometimes. The blessing of being alone is that God can speak to you anytime. God can talk to you when you get in a place where it's quiet. God can speak to you and let you know what he thinks about you. And it ain't no encouragement like the encouragement that comes from God. When you realize who you are in God. When he tells you that you're the apple of my eye. When he tells you that I love you, I love you, I love you. When he tells you that there ain't no weapon that I'm going to let form up to prosper against you. When he tell you that I'm your deliverer, I'm your healer, when he encourages you, you can get up with a confidence and go blow a trumpet. Oh, glory be to God. It's a blessing sometimes of being alone. We get alone and we listen to the devil. And he wear us out with all kinds of stuff. He start telling you what's wrong with you, what you're feeling in your body. And if you check here, you might find something. He start telling you all kinds of stuff. But what about listening to God? We need to listen to God when we get all by ourselves. We need to start listening to what the Lord said. And when we're alone, God takes an opportunity. You know, God will speak to you when you're by yourself. He spoke to the prophet Elijah when he was in the cave by himself. He spoke to Moses when he was on the backside of the desert by himself. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, we need to know that God will speak to you. God will speak to you when you're all alone. And so don't get all discouraged and get all up in the air whenever you ain't got nobody to hang out with. That you got God to hang out with. Just talk to the Lord. But we won't pick up our Bible. We won't pray. I'm just going to see what's on Lifetime. Now, 2 hours of your life is gone, and you could have spent 30 minutes talking to God, and he could have blessed your life while you're looking at somebody else's life on television. I wish I had a few people in the house today that could say amen to that. Oh, glory be to God. Now, we've wasted time on some stuff, but I want you to know that if God will speak to you, then he's going to anoint you with his Holy Spirit so that you can do what he called you to do. See, sometimes we look at ourselves and try to see if we got the ability, if I got the money. Gideon didn't have no money. He couldn't raise no army. He didn't have the ability to do anything, but he, by the Spirit of God, can do it. Well, you know, and the thing about this is that the Spirit of God came upon Gideon. And we have no excuse because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. And the Bible declared to us that we can do all things through Christ that strengthen us. But yet we still sit back just like the children of Israel and say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to help. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to see what needs to be done and blow a trumpet and do it. Mm-hmm. But it goes on here. Let me go on. Chapter 7 in verse 7 says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by 300 men. Let me stop and give you a little bit on that. Gideon blew the trumpet, and the people heard the trumpet, and they were just waiting on somebody to blow it. They were just waiting on somebody to blow the trumpet. They were waiting on somebody to say, you know, let's go fight these guys. But nobody would do it. everybody was just kind of, you know, they would just kind of look and, you know, let's just go on back to our caves and let them have the wheat. We'll just plant again next year. But this time, somebody blew the trumpet. And when they blew the trumpet, the people who heard it, they all gathered themselves behind Gideon and said, what's up now? It's time to do this. Amen? And sometimes all it takes is somebody with enough courage, somebody with enough anointing, somebody. And when you got the anointing of God, you shouldn't be worried about whether or not it's going to work, because the anointing itself makes it work. The anointing itself makes the difference. The anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing gets you to a place where the enemy can't handle you. I wish I had somebody. We need to know that the anointing sets me apart, and so I can't be touched. He said, touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm. And so therefore, I ain't worried about what might happen, because I'm just going to blow this trumpet since God put it in my hand. I may not have a trumpet in my hand, but I can make myself sound well enough to where I can blow a horn. Amen. I can make an alarm. I can sound the alarm. And will you come and fight with me? Will you array yourself with me in spiritual warfare so that we can overcome this spirit of the Midianites that's taking over our community, making our children not want to do nothing, making all the people to complain. All they do is complain. You get on Facebook, they complain. And you get on Instagram, it's a complaint. Twitter, complaint. TV. Watch CNN, that's complaining about something. Complaining, complaining, complaining. And that's all we do. We don't have nobody that'll say, I'm going to blow this trumpet and I'm going to stop complaining, because I had some good days. I had some bad days. I had some hill to climb. But when I look around, I see all my good days outweigh my bad days. So I'm going to blow this trumpet instead of complain. I wish I had somebody. Glory to God. And so it says that Gideon, he had about 32,000 people compared to what he had to fight against. He had to fight against 135,000. But he only had 32,000. But he was still willing to go do it. But then God turns around and said, Gideon, I'm going to make the odds a little bit worse. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I can't use these 32,000 people, because Israel will still not serve me, because they'll say, we did this. You know how it is. We always say we did it. We always say, yeah, I did that. I prayed and that's what happened. I did it and that's what happened. Do you know that even if you didn't pray, if God wanted to do it, he'll do it anyway? Anybody else other than me got some stuff in your life that God did that you didn't even have a chance to pray for? You didn't even know that he was going to do it, but he still did it? Oh, come on and say, man. Anybody other than me can look around in your life and say, you know what? I didn't ask God for this, but God saw fit to bless me. And so therefore, some things you don't even have to ask God for, because just the mere fact that you belong to him, he wants to bless you. Tell somebody, God wants to bless you. Amen. And so here it was. God told him, said, Gideon, I can't use all of these people. And so Gideon, he said, Gideon, I want you to go, and I want you to take them over to the river, and I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. And Gideon was obedient. He took them over there, and he said, I want you to watch them. I want you to look at all your people. He had to look at each one of them. He had to look at 32,000 people, and he had to look them over. And Gideon said, if you don't want to be here, then I need you. If you're scared, say you're scared and go home. And about 20-some thousand of them say, I'm scared. And they went home. They went home. And still, he had about 10,000 people. And Gideon had to look at all of those 10,000. And God said, as they go to the brook to drink, he said, the one that get down on one knee, he said, you know, and there's going to be another one that gets down face first. And he gonna keep his eyes open, and he's gonna drink the water. He's going to get prostrate on the in front of the water and drink it. I wish I had somebody here. He said, that's the ones I want you to take. Only 300 of them did it. Only 300 out of 10,000. Can you imagine? Gideon said, I must have heard that wrong. God, you must, you know, that's what we would have said. I must have heard that wrong, because God, I think the 300 are the ones that's going home, but leave me the 9,700 to go with me. That's what we would have said. I know I would have said it. God, it ain't no way you're gonna dwindle me down all the way to just a few hundred people compared to 135,000. You know how it is. We get to looking at the number, and that's what we do. We go wherever everybody else going, that's where we go. Whatever everybody else is doing, that's what we're going to do. We go with the multitude. We go with the number. But is there a few people, a few good men that God would decide today that decided that if God wants me to go and put myself on the line as a sacrifice, I'm willing to stand up for the Lord and do whatever it is he wants me to do. So Gideon, 301 people. I wish I had somebody. Well, you got to notice what God did. God said, that, you know, the Bible, when we talk about the word is like water, the washing of the water by the word of God. And so God said, Gideon, the one that indulges himself in the word, the one that gets down and put his face in the word, that's the one, not the one that just dip his hand down to get some refreshment, not the one that just, I just want a little bit and I'm good, I'm going about my business, just get a little refreshment. No, I want the one that's going to be in the word, that put his face in the word, that's down in it. That's the one that you can trust to stand with you, to be able to fight. Y'all ain't saying nothing in here, but are you the one that'll put your face in the word in the time of trouble and say, I'm going to get in the word no matter what, and when I get in the word, I know God is going to strengthen me and I'll be refreshed enough to be able to fight the enemy no matter who it is and where they come from. I'm able to do it. I wish I had somebody. And so he said, 300 men. I'm almost done. I guess this is all you're going to get. I ain't hearing no talk back. He says, 300 men, Gideon, take them. Look over in chapter 7, verse number 19 says, so Gideon split up his people and he took 100 men and he told them, he said, look, I want you to, he said, we're going to split up, but I want you to take a lantern and put it in a pitcher, and I want you to take your sword. Now, granted, he tells them this, and all they did was take a little bit of food for the walk. They don't know when they're coming back, but they say, I'm going to just take a little food because we're going to take care of business. You know, when we go somewhere, we try to prepare ourselves for everything. But they had to know that God was going to give them what they needed when they got where they were going. Oh, my God. He says, Gideon, so in verse 17, he says unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, and shall be that I do, so shall ye do. Whatever I do, you do it. A little follow the leader. Yeah, you get what I'm saying. Paul said, follow me as I follow. See, we gotta have some people that'll stand up and say, I'm going to do it right, so when I do it right, you do it right with me. Amen. Lord have mercy here. We try to let everybody just do their own thing. No, we need somebody to stand up and do it right so everybody will array themselves together and do it right. And it says that, and I and all that are with me, they blow their trumpets also when in every side of the camp, and the sword of the Lord and Gideon. That's what I want you to say. But before this happened, Gideon was so slick that he wanted to see what the enemy had to say about him. So he slid down to the enemy's camp, and he heard them talk. And one of them said, I had a dream that this Gideon, that this wheat came in and whatever, and it slew us. And one of them said, let me interpret that dream for you, because you got to be careful who interpret your dreams. He said, let me interpret his dream. He said, that's Gideon, and he's going to destroy us. And God had already told Gideon, I'm going to do this as if it was one man. In other words, so much unity, you can't tell who it is. One man. The one man that's doing what we need to be done on the earth is Christ. We are the body of Christ, and we should do things as if it is one man. Lord have mercy here. And so here it is. Gideon heard what the enemy said, and the enemy was as afraid of him as he had previously been afraid of them. Isn't that something? It's okay to hear what the enemy has to say about you. Because, you know, you need to know if they're lying on you, that's okay. If they're talking about you, that's okay. At least they're talking about something. Amen. But look, he says that when it's time to go, he said, I want you to do what I do. I'm going to take 100 men. We're going to split up, and we're going to approach them in different ways, and we're going to make them think they're surrounded. I wish I had somebody in here. Here are 300 men versus 135,000 men. What if the plan didn't work? But it wasn't that the plan wasn't going to work, because the plan came from God. And see, we get worried about our plan. We get worried about whether or not it's going to work. I'm not worried or not whether or not it's going to work, because I know that I trust God's plan. If I only got a few people that want to get with me and let's do it, I trust the plan of God. Gideon had 300 people that said that whatever you want to do, let's do it. I wish I had some people in the house that said, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. I want to be a part of what God is doing. I don't want to be outside looking in. I don't want to join. I don't want to be a bandwagon Christian. When things are going my way, I'm on the bandwagon. When it's not going my way, I want to do something else. But I want to be the Christian that whether it's going good or not, I'm standing on the word of God. Come on and preach it with me, amen. We got to understand here that Gideon, when he said, whatever I do, you do, he was letting them know that here's the plan from God. God gave me the plan, and don't you deviate from the plan that God gave me. So when I do this, you do this too, because God said so. And so what we got to do is what God said, not what everybody else say, not what they're doing down the street, but let's do what God wants us to do. Come on and say amen here. And he divided them in three companies, the Bible says in verse 20, and he said that they had the pitchers in one hand, and in their left hand they had the trumpet, and they were ready to blow the trumpet. And so in verse 20 it says, and when the three companies came, and they break the pitchers, and they held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand, and they blew it and they cried. Now, you don't see anywhere where they had a sword. You don't see anywhere where they had any weapons. And you know what? You don't need to have hand combat weapons when you got God's plan. I don't have to fight in this battle, because this battle is not mine. It belongs to God. I don't have to have anything in my hand to fight with. I just need to have a word in my heart. And I need to have some obedience in my life. And if I got obedience in my life and a word in my heart, I ain't got to worry about it, because God's plan will work for me. Do I have anybody here? Well, when I look at this, and let me just back up a little bit. When he talked to Gideon in chapter 7, before he even got to this point, Gideon, the first thing he did was question whether or not God really cared about what Israel was going through. Where are you, God? You don't do the miracles. Where are the miracles that my fathers talk about that you did in the wilderness? I don't see nothing happening in my life. He began to question God, but not only that, he began to complain about not having nothing. We ain't got nothing. And then not only that, he began to make excuses. He said, I'm the least of my family. I ain't nobody. I ain't got nothing. And God don't care what you got. If you ain't got nothing, he still wants to use you because of what he put in you. It ain't what you got in the world. It's what God puts in you that he really wants to use. It ain't how much money you attain, but it's what God, the riches of his grace that he puts in you, that he wants to use. Do I have anybody? But not only did Gideon do all of that, but then he turns around and asks God for a sign. I wish I had somebody. And we got to quit asking God for a sign, because he said this, the only sign you're going to get is that there's going to be a son of man that's going to be in the belly. Oh, come on and say man of the head of the earth. And he's going to stay there 3 days and three nights, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale, and he's going to rise up. I wish I had somebody, from the dead. And that's the only sign. And since I know that sign, I'm going to stand on the word of God. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I'm going to trust God's plan? And so when they got to the place where they came up by the Midianites and the Amalekites and the 135,000, now you got to understand, it was 135,000 soldiers, but there were other people with them that were their families and everybody else. So let's multiply that, and let's say it was about 400,000 to 500,000 people that was there to eat up their stuff. And all of a sudden, 300 people taking on 400,000 or 500,000 people, and they walk out there, and all they got in their hand is a trumpet and a picture. I wish I had somebody in here. All they got in their hand, and this is something God is letting us know. Do you know what the trumpet represents? It represents your praise. And sometimes that's all you got to fight the enemy with is your prayer. Do I have anybody in the house? All you got is your praise. Sometimes that's all you got is a hallelujah. All you got is thank you, Jesus. All you got is, Lord, I thank you for what you've done. And we got to understand that praise is what I do. Praise is enough to confuse the enemy. Praise, well, Lord, have mercy in here. The Bible tells us that Job, whenever he went through what he went through, the Bible said that Job turned around and said, the Lord give it, the Lord take it, blessed be the name of the Lord. And don't you know the devil had to be scratching his head and saying, this dude here got to be crazy. All the hell that I just brought in his life and all he can do is bless the Lord. See, sometimes we need to do the same thing, because in 9 months, Job was restored. None of us have suffered to the point of Job, but what we got to understand is that the principle of praising God in the midst of your trouble, worshiping God in the midst of your loss. Come on and say amen. You can still say hallelujah, God give it, God take it, blessed be the name of the Lord. We need to take an understanding from that. And so when we look at what happened here, they took out their horns and they begin to blow the trumpet, and all they had was a praise. But now what does the pitcher and the lamps inside the pitcher represent? See, the pitcher represents an earthen vessel. It represents your flesh. And sometimes, you know, you got to break up the flesh. Lord have mercy in here. In order for the light to be seen that's inside, what they did, they broke the pitcher. They went out in darkness and you couldn't see them. But the closer they got, they broke the pitcher, blew the trumpet, and the noise sounded an alarm. The noise made them so afraid. The enemy so afraid that the enemy stood up and took off running. I wish I had somebody. We got to understand something here, that the pitcher represent the flesh. And so when they broke the flesh, you don't know what kind of light you got on the inside of you. You see, the enemy is afraid of your light. That's why he wants you to keep covering up your light. That's why he wants you to hide your light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it. Y'all ain't with me this evening. Oh, come on and say, man, we got to understand something here. We got to know that our light shining and our praise going forth is what's going to give us the victory. I got a light that I'm not going to hide. He said, you can't hide it. He said, if you can't hide a city that's on a hill, you can't put your light under a bushel. I wish I had somebody in here today that said, I'm going to let my light shine. I'm not afraid to hide. I'm not going to hide my light. I'm not afraid of what the enemy might bring my way. You know how some of us do. Oh, you better not say that, because the devil might come at you. He gonna come anyway. If you got some word in you, he's coming. But you need to know that if I can just have the light of God's word shining in the darkness of night, then I'm the only one that's gonna have victory, because I got my trumpet. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna praise him. I wish I had somebody. I'm gonna praise him and lift him up, and I got my light in my hand. I wish I had a few people in here. I got my praise in the right hand, because it's the strong hand, because that's the hand I'm gonna battle with. And if I can get somebody in the house to just praise him, I don't know who you are, what you're going through, but if you can just trust God's plan. God said all you need is a praise. All you need is his light of his word on the inside of you. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the beginning was everything made by the Word. He said, and this Word was the light of men, and the light is on the inside of us. And sometime we need to break up our flesh, break up what we do in ourselves, break up our feelings, break up our desires, and say, I ain't doing that no more, because I gotta let my light shine. And when my light begins to shine, then the enemy will begin to flee. Let's look at what it says in verse 21. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and the host ran, and they cried and fled. Now, what does this remind me of? It reminds me of the scripture in the New Testament that said, if we can resist the devil, then he will flee from us. And all I'm trying to tell you is that you need to resist with your praise, resist with the light of the word of God that's down on the inside of you. If you can resist the devil, then he will flee. What does the word flee mean? In the Greek, that word flee means that the devil will run and hide from you. In other words, he don't want no parts of this. You don't want none of this, partner, because I came to bring it to you. Come on and say amen. So whenever you begin to clap your hands hands and start to praise God, you know you're executing the devil. And what I mean by executing in the English, it means that you're attacking him and you're destroying him. And I don't know about you, but every time I put my hands together, I'm thinking about I'm destroying the work of the enemy. Every time I shout hallelujah, I'm saying I'm getting God in this place because he said he inhabits the praises of his people. Come on and shout yes in here. Come on and give God some praise in here. Come on and give him some glory. Can I get somebody to say amen?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411.